Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This happened when I was 7 years old. I was a very timid girl back then, and the events that transpired that day have stuck with me ever since. I was staying over at a friend's house one Saturday afternoon, and we were both sitting on the couch watching cartoons. For the sake of this story, we'll call my friend Kate. Kate was 2 years older than me and could be best described as a tomboy. Unlike me, she was tough and didn't hesitate to beat up any boy at school for saying mean things behind her back. At the time, I had a tendency to do whatever Kate told me to, even if I didn't want to do it. Anyways, after watching cartoons for a while, I got hungry, so I left the couch and went into the kitchen to grab a snack. The kitchen was small and had a door that led straight to the backyard, and below it was a little doggy door. Kate no longer had a dog, but the door wasn't removed for some reason. As soon as I stepped into the kitchen doorway, my eyes zeroed in on the doggy door, and I froze. To my absolute horror, a grown man with long brown hair was poking his head inside. I couldn't see his face, just the top of his head as he was looking up at the doorknob, probably trying to see if he could reach it. I quickly and quietly ran around the corner to hide. Thankfully, he didn't see me as much as he was too busy trying to squeeze his arm through the door. Kate's parents were out shopping at the time, so we were both home alone with this guy trying to break in. And it was here that I made my first mistake. Instead of calling the police, I ran back to the living room where Kate was and told her about the man. She thought I was joking, so I grabbed her by the hand and pulled her off the couch, then led her back to the kitchen so she could see the man for herself. Sure enough, he was still there. His face was still obscured as he was looking up at the doorknob, but this time, he had his whole arm inside the doggy door and tried to reach for the knob. Kate let out a soft whimper before quickly putting her hand over her mouth. It was the first time I saw her look so scared, but she looked back at me, her fear seemingly went away. She then placed a reassuring hand on my shoulder and put her fingers to her lips to keep me quiet. "Don't worry, we're gonna teach that creep a lesson he'll never forget," she said with a smug grin. I wasn't sure what she was planning. We were two scrawny little girls dressed in tank tops and shorts, not exactly the picture of intimidation, but like an idiot, I agreed to go along with whatever she was up to. "Okay," I said. "Great, we're gonna have to sneak up on this guy. So do what I do and follow me, and be quiet," she said before walking into the kitchen with me close behind. Even though we tried our best to be stealthy, our feet squeaked loudly across the floor with every step we took. Kate's mom must have cleaned the floor recently, and since Kate and I were both barefoot, the squeaking was twice as loud. We stopped and looked at each other nervously for a moment, thinking we were done for. But fortunately, the man's constant fumbling with the locked door blocked any of the squeaks we made. So by sheer dumb luck, he wasn't alerted of our presence, even though our footsteps were as loud as an incoming freight train. My heart raced as we continued walking forward, getting closer and closer to the intruder. The man hadn't noticed us yet, but he yanked his head and arm out after seemingly giving up on reaching for the knob. Kate sighed in disappointment, but I'd figured he'd be back to try again. She then sat down in front of the doggy door while I sat beside her. "As soon as he pokes his head in, we're gonna kick him as hard as we can. Kate snickered as she raised both of her feet off the floor and bent her knees back, preparing them for the kick. I did the same, and we both just stayed in that position, waiting for the man to return. No more than 20 seconds passed before the doggy door flapped open again, and the man popped his head in, this time giving us a good look at his face. We didn't kick. We just sat there, frozen, eyes wide with fear as we tried to comprehend what we were looking at. His face, my God, his face looked like it had all of its skin ripped off, leaving only exposed muscle. The top of his head looked normal enough with the brown hair, but his face was gone. This is not a face we were expecting to see. Looking back, I'm not sure if his skin was actually gone, or if he just had a detailed tattoo, which my 7-year-old brain believed to be real. And if it was a tattoo, then damn, it was a good one. The exposed muscles and sinews around his cheekbones looked so lifelike that it left both me and my friend petrified. The man himself was also surprised when he saw us for the first time. He glanced between the two of us, completely speechless. And why wouldn't he be? He wasn't expecting to find two little girls waiting for him on the other side of the door, with their bare feet raised in the air, ready to strike, mere inches from his face. The entire situation was so surreal. After a minute of awkward silence, as we just looked at each other, the man finally smiled at us. And when he did, my friend and I began to quake in fear. As if this guy couldn't get any weirder, his mouth was full of razor-sharp teeth, almost as if he were a monster straight out of a horror movie. Then, without warning, he lunged his head forward, mouth wide open like he was ready to bite. Kate and I screamed as we fell back on our backs, yanking our feet away from the man's teeth as they snapped shut. He missed us by mere centimeters, and we weren't about to stick around so he could try again. I quickly scrambled to my feet and bolted out the kitchen. Kate, however, took a little longer to get up, and the man was able to grab her ankle, making her fall to the floor. Looking over my shoulder, I could see Kate screaming as she was being dragged towards the man, who once again had his mouth open, ready to take a bite. Kate started kicking the man's face with her other foot, making him let go for a moment, only to grab her other foot. I raced back into the kitchen, grabbed a few apples that had been sitting on a nearby table, and started throwing them at the man. The man groaned in annoyance as he let my friend go and scrambled out of the doggy door. We could hear his frantic footsteps fading away as he finally left the house. I guess he didn't think breaking in was worth getting pelted by apples. We never told Kate's parents about what happened. I mean, what would we even tell them? A man with no skin on his face and a mouthful of sharp teeth tried to break in and nearly bit off our toes? Her parents would think we were crazy. I don't know if that guy was ever caught, but I hope he never tries this with anyone else. I'll probably never forget that face for as long as I live. My best friend Pamela and I hosted a sleepover at my place last weekend. My parents visited my grandma in Wisconsin, so I had the house to myself. Pamela and I have been best friends since kindergarten. We've done sleepovers many times before, but as this is our final year of high school, we decided to make this one special. And unfortunately, it turned out to be a sleepover to remember for the rest of our lives. Another classmate, Corey, joined us. We turned on some music and started talking about our plans. I was having a conversation with Corey when Pamela said, "God, you guys are so boring." "Really? Then show us how much fun you are." "I have an idea." "What? Are you guys familiar with the Ouija board thing?" "You mean calling out to dead people? How old are you, 6? "It works. You just have to concentrate." Corey rolled her eyes as gesturing it was a dumb plan. Now, I've heard about this thing, but never tried it on my own. I thought for a second, and then said in a confused tone, "But I don't have a Ouija board." "I can make one. Just need a few basic things." So within the next few minutes, Pamela got busy making our Ouija board. She took a piece of cardboard and pasted a white paper on it. Then on the top left, wrote yes, and on the top right, no. In the middle, she wrote the alphabet A to Z, and down under, wrote numerical 1 through 0. And at the end of the paper, she wrote, "Goodbye." "Whoa, this looks spooky." "That's the fun. Get me a glass from the kitchen." Corey went to get a glass, and I sat there thinking, what the hell are we doing? A weird voice kept telling me that we shouldn't be doing this, but I could barely say no to Pamela. Once Corey brought the glass, Pamela took out a half-empty bottle of wine from her backpack. "Where'd you get that?" "Stole it from my dad's cupboard." She filled the glass with wine and drank it in one go. She then filled it again and gave it to Corey. Corey, too, drank it without hesitation. But when she gave me the glass of wine, I felt kind of worried. "Pamela, I don't think this is a good idea." "Come on, it's just one glass." "Yeah, Beth, don't be a chicken." They both laughed at me, seeing my hesitation, so I drank it just to get it over with. Pamela turned off the lights of my room. The pale moonlight coming from my window was enough to see around. We sat down in a circle and placed the board right in the middle. Pamela lit a small candle to see the letters clearly and placed the glass on the board. "Now listen, I'll ask the questions, but first we have to decide who we're going to call." "What about Fat Amy?" "Seriously, Corey? Is that a joke? Come on, don't ruin the fun. That ugly bitch had it coming. Can't disagree with that." Pamela and Corey laughed ruthlessly over an unfortunate incident that happened last year. In our class used to be a girl named Amy Sanders. She was overweight, and mean kids made fun of her. She usually kept to herself. One day when she was changing in the girls' locker room, someone took her photo and circulated it among the school group. She was so heartbroken and petrified that she drank bleach and died while coughing blood in the girls' bathroom. "Nobody deserves to be treated like that. You guys are so mean." "Oh God, enough with your lectures, Beth. Can we please start?" "Are we going to call Amy? Maybe we can ask her about the mysterious photographer. I mean, ghosts know everything. Ghosts aren't real. Let's find out." We all placed our index fingers on the top of the glass and closed our eyes. Pamela said in a low voice, "Think about Fat Amy. Imagine her face." Corey and I certainly did as she said. Pamela kept chanting, "Amy, if you're out there, talk to us. Amy, are you there?" Nothing happened for a while. I was on the verge to give up on this bullshit, but I felt someone breathe on me. What the? I opened my eyes and saw it was Pamela blowing on my face. She and Corey laughed out loud, seeing me get all creeped out. I lost my calm and screamed at them. "This isn't funny, guys. Enough. I'm going to bed." Then suddenly, we heard a sound. A sound of a girl weeping. "What is that?" The sound started to grow louder, as if whoever was crying was now walking towards my room. "Pamela, is this one of your pranks?" I swear, I'm not doing anything." We all stood up in fear. Our faces were pale. I know it very well that there was no one else in this house except for the three of us. And even if someone enters, the door alarm will buzz like crazy, identifying a break-in. Our heartbeats got faster as the sound came closer each second. At one point, it was so loud that I could tell someone was standing right on the other side of my bedroom door. My throat was dry. All of our eyes were on the door, waiting for the unknown person to walk in. Suddenly, the sound stopped, and the door creaked open. The movement was so slow that I thought my heart would stop at any minute. But as the door opened, we saw nothing but pitch black darkness on the other side of the door. It felt as if a completely different world resided beyond my bedroom door. Oh my God. Pamela and I turned towards the Ouija board left on the ground, following Corey's eyes, and what I saw made my stomach drop. The glass had started to move slowly. With wide eyes, we watched the glass move chronologically. H, E, L, L, O. She's here. Is this happening? Amy, is this you? The glass moved to yes in one swift motion. Pamela grabbed my hand in fear. She said in a broken voice, We better move it to goodbye. But before she could do that, Corey suddenly asked, Who is responsible for your death, Amy?
Corey, stop! You're messing with danger. I gotta end this right now.
What happened next can only be seen in horror movies. Pamela went to grab the glass to move it to goodbye, but something invisible flung her in the air and tossed her on the hard floor like a doll. Her wrist broke and hung like a broken tree branch while she screamed in terrible pain. None of us moved because we knew the same thing would happen to us too if we did. The glass then slowly spelt the name of the person responsible for Amy's death. P-A-M-E-L-A. It was you. Pamela, why? Why did you do that?
I swear it was just a prank. I didn't know she was gonna kill herself. You have to move the glass to goodbye. You have to end this.
Suddenly, a spine-chilling scream took place in the darkness outside my room. And I kid you not, a pair of red eyes surfaced from it. Just eyes. Wide. Still. Eyelidless eyes. I've never seen anything so scary in my entire life. Corey fainted on the floor before she could speak a word, and Pamela started pleading.
Please, Amy, please, I didn't mean to. Forgive me, please.
I have come to take you with me.
A black, shadowy figure started walking towards Pamela while she screamed for her life. At that moment, something hit my senses, and I grabbed the glass on the board, saying,
I'm sorry, but goodbye, Amy.
The air in the room got sucked in by some invisible hole, and then suddenly, the lights turned on. That was the last time all three of us hung out together. Pamela stopped coming out of her house for a month, and now she moved to New Orleans. Corey is still going to therapy, and I try my best to forget that night like a bad dream. Still, whenever I find myself in a dark room, I can still hear Amy's voice calling out to Pamela.
I have come to take you with me.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.